there's a lot of emotional damage that people have that just you being that light in the workplace, breaking down those walls where they're able to talk to you and you're able to speak a word into their life, a word of encouragement and love and empathy, like that's healing to people. And Jesus is a healer. And so it's the same thing in the office, just bringing those qualities and characteristics to life where you go.
On In Good Faith, we believe that all faith traditions have something to teach us about how God is working in the world and in our lives. So join us as we listen and learn. Today on In Good Faith, we're talking about something that can be challenging in a secular society like we are here in the U.S. about, can I mix my faith with my work? Am I offending people in the workplace? Senior producer Heather Bigley with me in studio today.
Hello.
As well as Josh Orton.
Hello, hello.
Our guest, Scott Warren, when I think about it, he's really going to get to the heart of "Ye are the light of the world." If you have a candle, you put it not under a bushel, but you let it shine. But how do you do that so you're not like blinding other people or setting your workplace on fire?
I like where you took the metaphor, Steve. That's excellent. And Scott Warren is the host of the Preach Where You Reach podcast. We're in total holy envy about that title. Fantastic. Where he interviews workplace apostles about their experiences incorporating faith into their job. He's also an author of the book of the same name, and he's got so much excitement here, and he's such an example of someone who, when they learn something that's good, they're going to put it into action. Right. He is not a hesitator.
Yeah, he definitely jumps all in. As soon as he learns about Jesus, that's his life. And I think it's a great example for all of us.
Yeah, you're going to hear a story of a whole family converting basically because of a six-year-old.
Raises his hand. That's all it takes.
That's all it takes. And interesting that he's going to talk about ways that you can be a workplace disciple, whatever your faith. And I love that all of that in his life grows out of one of his employees. So listen for that story. We started by asking, where did you get this title and why did you go and why did you think there needed to be a podcast about preaching where you reach?
What really inspired me in the first place was that there were so many Christians that I talked to that were unsure how to do that in the workplace, because our company doesn't allow us to talk about Jesus or talk about the Bible, and I would say you're absolutely right. If your company has a policy against it, then I understand that. But there's absolutely nothing stopping you from being like Christ in the workplace. So let's do that.
I mean, most people would say, well, I hope I'm living what I believe. But you're actually being very, very intentional about this.
I guess for me, and I guess what I try to do is encourage others to be bold in their faith and obedient to the Holy Spirit. And so for me, what I've found in the workplace anyway, is that there are times where the Holy Spirit is prompting me to speak to someone and pray for someone and ask, you know, how are you doing authentically?
Yes.
Like, tell me how you're doing, and really have an opportunity to pour into their lives. But the Holy Spirit will also shut my mouth at times when I'm in a meeting and I want to say something. No, not now. You know, I mean, so it's that obedience to that prompting that's really, really important. It's not just going in and starting to preach to everyone. It's like, no, obeying that nudge.
There was this interesting phrase that I just read. Having experienced firsthand the profound impact of integrating faith into the fabric of professional and personal life. Can you talk to me about that, what that experience is?
Yeah, I think when we are obedient to our faith and take it everywhere we go, including the workplace. Now, the workplace is what is that now, right? Are you in the office? Are you at home? It could be all over the place. But what I mean is when you're interacting with colleagues and direct reports and even your boss or whatever, what that looks like is embodying and exemplifying the characteristics and qualities of Christ. So compassion, empathy, love. Now, love is a weird one because sometimes, what do you mean love in the workplace? But what I mean is that you love someone in a way that you don't shy away from difficult conversations. So if I have an employee of mine that is not in a good place for themselves or for the company, then I have to have a difficult conversation with them. But it's based out of love. It's just the perspective of it. And I think what it looks like is when we bring our faith to the workplace, what happens is that we have this opportunity to help people and extend grace, extend forgiveness in the workplace. We have an opportunity for healing. And what I mean by that in terms of healing, it's not necessarily laying hands on someone and now we're in a wheelchair and now they're walking around the office. But what I mean is there's a lot of emotional damage that people have, a lot of things that just you being that light in the workplace and them having the comfort and breaking down those walls where that vulnerability, where they're able to talk to you and you're able to speak a word into their life, a word of encouragement and love and empathy, like that's healing to people. And Jesus is a healer. And so it's the same thing in the office, just bringing those qualities and characteristics to life where you go.
I'm wondering how your faith has been affected by the people you talk to on your podcast, because I've been reading through this whole list of guests and it's very exciting that I want to hear all of their different experiences, but they're from very different backgrounds.
They are, and that was intentional. I think when I started the podcast, you know, my initial thought was I want to speak to people of quote-unquote importance, because if the general audience knows who they are, then that's going to attract more listeners potentially, right? And as opposed to a barista at Starbucks, for example. What I felt in my heart was that, no, those are the stories that we need. Because my job as a podcast host is to be obedient to my calling. When the Holy Spirit says, that person, talk to that person, and I talk to them, it's freeing because I don't have to worry about the result. I don't have to worry about how many listens it's going to get or how many shares or, will this be appealing to sponsors? Or I don't care about any of that because I've done my part and then God will do the rest. I don't have to worry about where it lands. And so that's really, really freeing for me. But these conversations have been so good for me in my own faith and such an encouragement for me. I find that I've gone through some things with depression or suicidal ideations. And I have guests that talk about that as well. And we're able to kind of talk about how Christ being this sure and steadfast anchor for the soul has gotten us through those things. I'm able to be inspired by the guests and the journey that they've walked. And so, for example, I had a young woman on the podcast who is a corrections officer. And when she would go to work, she had a caregiver that would take her child to daycare for her. Simple enough. Well, one day while she's at work, she gets a call from the daycare saying, you need to get here immediately. And she's like, what's wrong? And they're like, we'll tell you when you get here. Well, she's in a panic. And it turns out that the caregiver left her 21-month-old son in the car for 7 hours in like 107-degree temperatures in Florida, and he passed away. But what I know is that this particular person, she goes to my church. I didn't know her very well, but I see her on a Sunday, and she is just worshiping. Like, it's just unbelievable. And I'm like, how? Mm-hmm. How do you do that with this experience that you've had, this adversity? I mean, that's putting it lightly. And she talks about how she was so frustrated and so angry, because for some reason, the charges were dropped against this person. It was accidental, so they weren't going to be prosecuted. And as a corrections officer, she was furious. But she remembers God speaking to her and saying, forgive them as I've forgiven you. And wow. Like, and she did. And she's free. And she's worshiping like crazy on a Sunday. But she's had that experience. It's there's story after story after story like that that is so impactful for me and just strengthens my own faith.
Yeah, that whole idea of forgive as I've forgiven you sounds really good over the pulpit.
Yes, amen.
until it's your actual, you're in the moment and you're called to it.
Yeah, and I think what it's also done for me is that it has brought me to a season of simplicity in my faith. And what I mean by that is that I'm trying to view things through this simple lens of God is either in control or he's not. either I trust him or I don't. Like really simple, but it's true. And it's sort of the idea of the bracelets that I used to mock, the what would Jesus do? You know, before I came to Christ, I'd be like, oh, this is so ridiculous. It's pretty good sound advice. What would Jesus do? And so I've really kind of simplified my faith in that sense. And, you know, he's either my provider or he's not. He's either a healer or he's not. And I just trust that whatever he does, that heaven gets it right.
Well, let me jump into that for just a minute, because you talked about before coming to Christ, what kind of faith life were you raised in? And what was that journey of coming to Christ for you?
I didn't grow up in the church at all. In fact, I didn't get saved until I was 46, about 10 years ago. So I grew up going to churches for weddings, funerals.
Yeah.
You know, occasionally I would go, but it never really made sense to me. It was typically a Catholic experience that I would go to. I'm an empath, so I want to feel something. And I didn't really feel anything. I mean, I saw people stand up, sit down, say this when they say this. And I mean, it's sort of like routine, and that's comforting for some people. It never drew me to it. And I would say that I was arrogantly ignorant when it came to the Bible, which means I knew enough of the Bible to be able to say, ha, hypocrite. I grew up in Maryland, in Baltimore, and, you know, Maryland's famous for our crabs. And so I sit there and I would think, okay, hold on. Leviticus says shellfish are an abomination, and yet you're having a crab feast after church. Like, it doesn't make any sense. You know, hypocrite, I'm not interested. And you would see pastors fall from grace, so to speak. I just wanted nothing to do with it. And it wasn't until I moved to Canada for my job. I spent 29 years in sports and entertainment, running arenas and performing arts centers. And I moved to Canada for 6 years. And when I first moved to Canada, again, wanting nothing to do with the church, it just so happens that my executive assistant was a worship singer at a local church. And it's kind of like God knew what he was doing there. It was pretty amusing. And so she and I would have these discussions in these, I wouldn't say debates, but I would be like, you know, trying to poke holes, because that's what I did to Christians. And she was just full of grace and kindness. And there were times where she would explain the question I had, so explain the answer. Or there were times she'd say, yeah, I don't really know. Anyway, she would invite me to church over and over again. And I would say, yeah, I'll pass. No, thanks. Finally, it got to a point where Christmas was rolling around and they were having a Christmas production, and she was singing in the Christmas production. And I thought, well, I mean, it's Christmas. Of course you go to church on Christmas, right? And I want to hear her sing. So me and the family, we'll go. And at that point, you know, it was my wife and my daughter was 9. My son was 6. We go to the service. Walking in, everyone was like amazingly kind. And this was a non-denominational. I didn't know what this meant. So I go in and the service begins, and there's a band, and it's like guitars and drums and keyboards. And I was like, what is this? I've never seen this in church. And the music was fantastic, and her singing was unreal. It was so good. And the message, when the pastor came out, the message was relatable. And I was like, oh, this is different. Still not really wanting anything to do with it, but it was kind of like, oh, this is a different experience. And then the altar call came. And the pastor said, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you'd like to know this Jesus we've been talking about, on the count of 3, raise your hand. And my wife and I are just looking straight ahead, like, well, you know, this isn't really for us. And on the count of 3, my 6-year-old son puts his hand way up in the air. And we were wrecked. We were wrecked. And it was one of those things that we felt like we had provided everything for these kids. Like, they didn't want for anything. But clearly, there was something missing. And so we said, okay, we'll go again next week to see what it's like. And I remember going the following week, and it was during worship, and I'm crying. And my wife looks over at me. She's like, why are you crying? And I'm like, I don't know. it was like the Grinch, where his heart grows 2 sizes type thing. It was like, I didn't know what was happening. And we never left. And we ended up going to 2 years of Bible college within our church. We served. I ended up preaching on occasion. The entire family got involved and served. It wasn't really quite Saul to Paul, but, you know, not too far off.
It's on that same Damascus road. What kind of a change was that for your family and your family life and your relationships at home?
Wow. It's been a journey, to be honest, because it was one thing to go from no faith to now being involved in the church and being there all the time, and then leading in the church and serving and all of those things. And that, and they all seem to take that in stride, and we're great about it. The kids were active. My daughter was a worship singer, so she joined the worship team. My son, who was six initially, but then as he grew up, he started doing production, the words on the screen and all of those things at the services. My wife was one of our children's pastors. And then I oversaw the front of house, guest relations type stuff, and would preach on occasion. So
you said we're going to be all in.
We're going to be all in. And the biggest challenge came when we were living in Canada and my work visa was going to expire. And my company at the time was bringing all of the people that were American back to the U.S. from Canada. And I think actually I was the last one remaining in Canada that was American. So we were going to have to come back to the States. And I really felt called to come down to Orlando. And maybe I say called, it could have been all me at the time, because it was like, it's Canada and, you know, palm trees and the beach. And
My wife is from Montreal. We know what you're talking about.
Yes. So you know, I equate it sort of like the Wizard of Oz, where you're going from black and white to color when you come down here. And it's like, wow. But when we did that, I figured, well, I'll just come down here and remain in my entertainment industry like I've done for 29 years. And, you know, we'll find a church and whatever. Well, it turned out that our Canadian pastors at the time, used to come down to Kissimmee down here in Orlando area on sabbatical every year. And so they really felt like they were called to plant a church in this area. And I said, well, I'll go there and then we can plant, you know? And so there was a group of us, about 14 of us, that moved from Canada to Florida to help plant a church campus. But then COVID hit and my industry that I was passionate about and had served in for so long shut down. There weren't concerts, there weren't sporting events, it was nothing, right? So it was really, really hard because what happened is that our savings dried up. I had to go to work. I had to do something. And I ended up going from my former career, making a couple hundred thousand dollars a year, and our kids going to Rome and Paris and coming down here to Florida. And I started working in the mall for $11 an hour. And it was humbling. It was a pruning. Like, I mean, that puts it lightly. I mean, it was hard, but it was a necessary pruning because, as my former pastor once said, I came into the kingdom with my position and my money. So God was going to strip me of those things so that whatever he gave me, I would give him glory for. And that's exactly what's happened. It was hard. So for them, it was like, we're going to Rome, we're going to Paris. Okay, Dad, I know we came down here to plant a church, but where are we going now? And we're like, maybe 7-Eleven? maybe? It was a complete change for them, but also one that they needed, and one that just as they needed the initial, you know, putting his hand up when he was six, and that was something that they needed that we weren't giving them, this was also something that they really needed to be humbled and see the way that God works in those situations and just trusting him that it's going to be okay. And sure enough, it became okay. So it was really, it's been an adventure, to say the least.
This is In Good Faith. I'm Stephen Cap Perry. We'll be back in just a moment with more of Scott Warren. Hi, Stephen Cap Perry here, host of In Good Faith. Here's another podcast from our BYU Radio family of podcasts I hope you'll check out. What I Love is Real. You know that saying, real recognize real? That's Lisa on The Lisa Show. Lisa Valentine Clark is a comedian, she's a believer, a single mother, and on The Lisa Show podcast, you'll hear from the Council of Moms, a genius idea which is actually one of my favorite parts of her show, and you'll hear about the challenges of life, parenting, mental health questions, social issues. Yes, you'll hear from experts, but also from people discussing their where the rubber meets the road life experience. It's The Lisa Show, wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to In Good Faith. We're talking with Scott Warren about how church changed his family's life and his work life. So at some point, you turn this corner into thinking, I want to talk to people who are preaching where they reach, to use your phrase.
Yeah.
Yeah. What made you decide to do that?
I had to be this person that I said I was everywhere I went, and that included the workplace. And when I viewed my workplace through that lens, there were opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to be like Christ. And I didn't necessarily go around preaching the word or reciting scripture or having people gather together for a prayer session or it was literally just trying to emulate Christ in the workplace.
So more of a change of your mindset, like I will have this in my mind as I interact with this person.
Yes. What's funny about it is that I really felt like my life had been transformed. And so it was like, this was who I am, as opposed to, okay, this is what I have to do. It wasn't a conscious thing necessarily even. It was just, I just better understood who I was doing it for. And I think that was the impact. And so what ended up happening is that in a Bible college class, I was given an assignment, 10 minutes, you got to preach a sermon. And so I'm like, okay. And 10 minutes seemed like a long time when you've never done it before. And so I recall creating this message, and I was like talking about how I incorporated my faith in my workplace, because I had a bunch of examples that I could point to. And so I figured I could do that. And so I did that message, and Preach Where You Reach was something that I just said off the cuff. And then it turned into so much more.
Yeah.
But that was the core, the beginning of it anyway.
Well, I'm wondering if you can tell me about how that affects the audience. What do you hear back from listeners?
It draws them closer. It fortifies their own faith. It makes them view things in a different way. If they've gone through that, surely I can get through what I'm going through. And not every story on the podcast is one of adversity and difficulty and cancer and other. There's a number of those things. But they tell me that they feel like they're invited into just almost like a campfire conversation. I go in and let the conversation be Holy Spirit led, and it goes where it needs to go. And there are times where it will go into specifically what we're talking about, the workplace and how they incorporate their faith in the workplace. But there may be times where it doesn't go there, because that's not where the Holy Spirit wants it to go. There's a different thing that we have to kind of focus on. I'll give you an example. I just did an interview with a young woman who is in South Africa, in Cape Town. And in the conversation we had, where she had gone through some very difficult circumstances as a child with abuse, and it took her a lot of years, but she came to a point of forgiveness, which a lot of us struggle with, things that have happened to us in the past and forgiving and moving mm-hmm. on, and it's really, really hard. And so she spoke so articulately and impactfully in terms of like how she got to that point of forgiveness. And I paused the conversation in a sense to say, no, we need to stay here. Holy Spirit is saying, no, this is where we need to stay for a bit. And I spoke into her and just saying, no, this story needs to be told. You've never done a podcast in your life before. You're scared to death to even do this right now. You don't feel valued. This is your value. This is what you bring to the table. Your scars are someone else's healing. You need to be on stages. You need to be telling this story. This is your calling. I felt it so strongly in my core that she's just weeping and crying like during the conversation. But it was one of those things where at the end she said, I needed this more than you'll ever know. It was so impactful for her. And because it's impactful for her, the audience is going to feel that. The listeners are going to feel that. And again, I don't necessarily have to worry about where it lands. I'm just either planting a seed or watering a seed, but God will do all that. I just have to have that conversation.
That was Steve talking to Scott Warren, host of Preach Where You Reach. I like how Scott talked about him simplifying his faith, mm-hmm. where he could see God through a lens of, okay, am I going to trust God or am I not? And this comes into the idea that you guys talked about a lot of being all in the gospel, right? There's this thing that this guy used to ask us all the time. He was, I think, a youth leader. He would say, if it became illegal to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And I looked at my life and I was like, you know what? Probably not. You know, at that time. But now, like, that's what Scott Warren is saying. He's saying, are you all in the gospel? Are you all in what you believe, or are you not?
It was really interesting to me how this became the story of a whole family's conversion, and that it was the six-year-old who was the one at the altar call, just like, yep, I want to know more. And what that did to him and his wife, and they never stopped going from that moment.
I'm just fascinated about the fact that he ends up in church because someone, like, this isn't just a colleague at work. This is his employee. She's a direct report to him. She doesn't have a lot of institutional power. You know, she can't tell him he needs to do things. But here she is inviting and inviting and inviting in a way that makes him feel like, yeah, this is something we should try or go or do. When we were speaking with Scott, this was something that I was curious about. How do you do this when you're talking to your boss or you're talking to the people who decide what you're paid or whether you stay? And here's a courageous woman who decided, I can keep asking, I can be myself here.
And he uses that phrase, there may be rules against, in certain companies, against talking about personal faith or religion, that type of thing. But when he said, there is no rule against being like Christ,
right,
you know, coming from his background. And for anyone of any faith, there is no rule against trying to follow your precepts and treating other people the way you would be directed to. And that's pretty universal, I thought. Many thanks to Scott Warren for talking with us. This episode was produced by Heather Bigley. Our production team also includes Leah King, Katerina Martinez, Josh Orton, and Ashton Rowan. Our post-production sound designers are Mark Hansen, Daniel Phillips, Lauren Sandberg, and Ashton Parkinson. In Good Faith is committed to the idea that we all benefit from hearing people of widely varying backgrounds share their personal experience with faith and belief. In fact, we think people with such experience deserve some of our best listening. So we're wondering, at In Good Faith, as you listen, have you been motivated to have a conversation with someone outside your own faith tradition? Or have you paid attention, maybe even to just what might be happening in a different congregation in your town? We'd love to know about it. Send us an email to ingoodfaith@byu.edu. In Good Faith is a production of BYU Radio. I'm Stephen Cap Perry. I hope you join me again soon, right here, In Good Faith.